Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony Brewski joining you today. Jenny is out for the next several days, off visiting some family in her home state of Texas. So you have got me and a whole bunch of you guys with your calls, your stories. It's Real Ghost Stories Online, the program you are tuning into at this moment in time, which is obviously about ghosts and stories. And as I said the other day, sometimes quiche, delicious sausage quiche with melted cheddar cheese, just like mom makes. I remember like being a kid and going to restaurants. And I don't know any other better term for this than just saying like lady type restaurants, you know, like the crafty places. Because I'm an only child. I had no sisters. I had no brothers. Summertime with my mom was, going out and doing stuff. And she kept us going and active. But a lot of things we went to were, there's a place called the Craft Barn out in the country in Wisconsin. And, looking at crafts and things of that nature, that was my life growing up quite a bit. And I learned quite a bit about quiche, I think, because there were so many times you go to those restaurants and, it's all the, girls are out for their day together and they look at the crafts and have fun and great antiquing and things of that nature. And some of them had like little restaurants in, I remember. And quiche was always a popular menu item. It was always like, what's your quiche of the day? I remember being like, 7, 8, and getting so used to eating quiche. It was like, what's your quiche of the day today? And the waitress would look at me like, why is this little boy asking about what the quiche of the day is? And, it's mushroom spinach feta, So, anyhow, enough about quiches. Jenny's not here to shut me up, so you're getting 60 minutes today of just nonstop talk about quiche. You're probably like, oh my God, I'm so excited. This is why I tuned in. I can't wait. Maybe we'll get a little bit of talk in here about crustless pies as well. You never know. Anyway, ghost stories, 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us today. It is open lines. So as you know with that, we are just going to do a whole bunch of calls from you guys and talk about the stories that we hear. And enjoy some ghost stories. So let's kick off the show today with our first caller to 855-853-4802. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It is me once again, Akia from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I just wanted to call and tell you guys a couple more ghostly experiences I had. I didn't give it much thought until I went to my brother's house the other day. We were talking about it, and now that I really look back on my childhood, there was a couple more odd, unexplainable things that happened to me. And so I just wanted to let you guys hear at least one or two of them. But The first one I wanted to share is that when I was about like 4 years old, I think, 4 to 5, I remember having a dream where I was in my parents' bed and I couldn't see anything pulling me, but my leg was getting tugged and I was trying to stay on the bed, but my leg kept getting tugged and tugged, and I finally eventually hit the floor on my butt, and my left leg was sticking out far wherever something was tugging at my leg. And I woke up right when I hit the floor and I was in that exact same position, so that was kind of weird. And yes, I was in my parents' bedroom, but yeah, that was weird for me to have that happen. I couldn't explain it. It was strange. And then also when I was around the same age, I used to get these really freaky nightmares of this red bony hand with black nails grabbing my face. It was just so weird, and as soon as it got on top of my face, I woke up and I was on the exact same position that I was in the dream, or nightmare rather. And also another thing is my cousin Donovan saw the same exact thing back when my mom used to work at a computer place. There's the back loading dock and the doors were, you know, clear as day visible. And this was around the time when my cousin was like 8 years old and me and my sister were much younger. And my cousin said that he saw the same exact hand that I had seen in my dreams just grab the corner of the door and then kind of, you know, like in a creepy skeletal horror film manner, just slowly draw its fingers back into the loading dock. And we all went in there at one time and we only got so far and we were already creeped out and we just left. We bolted out of there because we were like, you know, something felt creepy. So I don't know if that's anything paranormal or not, but just wanted to call it in, see if you guys may have some advice for me on that of what it might be. Yeah, thank you for your show. You guys rock. Jenny, keep Tony in check, because some of those ideas he has are a little crazy, but whatever. All right, thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us, and for the disparaging words about myself. I feel good. I'm kidding. Yeah, some ideas are crazy. You're exactly right. I know. Himalayan mountain goats and quiche. But anyhow, interesting story. What was it? I don't know. It's one of those stories where you just kind of walk away from it going, well, this is very, very bizarre. And you have to almost wonder, you know, it's very easy to let your mind go and say, this is something dark. This is something, you know. But I don't know that the evidence is there to point to it being that. I don't know if there's enough evidence to really point to exactly what it is as a whole either, other than the fact that you had a paranormal experience and it may just be left at that for all the days to come. You had something strange happen that was, unexplained, the definition of it. Very interesting. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another call. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I've been meaning to write you so I can attach some audio for you that I think your listeners would like, so I'll try to get on that. But I was actually calling because I ran into somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. And she reminded me of something that had happened a long time ago. And I thought, that's hilarious. I should call that story in. So this story was, I was working in a factory. I'm a factory worker. And this is a factory I'm no longer at, actually. And in the factory, there was a bathroom that was located like in the very center of the building. And anytime you went into this restroom, the pipes would make weird banging sounds. And it almost sounded like a pressure valve opening and shutting. And one day I did ask a plumber, you know, hey, what's that sound? And he said that it was a flow valve that when the, I don't know, he explained it. Anyway, it controls the flow of the water, probably a pressure valve. So I was like, oh, okay. And it makes a clicking and a banging, just like click, bang, click, bang. And it always did it in twos. So one day I was sitting in this bathroom, and it was before break, and I was in there because I had a headache, so I was sitting there with the lights off. And the banging started, only it didn't sound right. It sounded like somebody was banging on the pipes with a wrench, which I, you know, could be at the factory. But it was doing it in a very odd pattern. It was like clang, 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 clang. And it would stop. It would go clang, 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 clang. And it was not a specific pattern. And then I said, cut it out, because I had a headache. And it stopped immediately. And it didn't do it again for a real long time. And I thought, that's weird, okay. And so I said, if there's a spirit in this restroom trying to get my attention, bang on the pipes three times. Because, of course, the valve only clicks twice. And it did three bangs. Click, click. It went bang, bang, bang. So then I was like, okay, let's go with this. And I imagined and telling it, you know, bang four times. It would do four times. Bang once. It would bang once. And I'm asking it questions and answering. And a lady walked into the restroom, so I immediately stopped. And she said, oh, who are you talking to? And I said, just myself. And she said, wait a minute, you're the ghost girl, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I am. And she goes, are you talking to your ghost? Is there a ghost in here? And I said, I don't know, maybe I was just playing with the banging pipes. And she said, can I watch? And I said, sure. So now me and this lady are sitting in the dark. And I said, introduce yourself. And she said, my name is, let's just say Cheryl. And I said, is it okay if Cheryl joins us? If it is, bang on the pipes three times. And it went bang, bang, bang right away. And she gasped and said, I've never heard it do it more than twice. I said, I know. And so then I showed her that it would do it four and five times on command. And it was kind of funny because we wasted our whole break time sitting in this bathroom talking to the banging pipes. So then we're getting ready to leave, and I said, well, we have to go now. I had to get back to work, so it was nice talking to you. And it started banging a lot, going bang, 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 bang. And it sounded, you know, agitate. I said, I'm sorry, I really have to go. You have to stay here, the usual stuff. And it started banging again, bang, 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 bang. And the girl looked at me and she looked scared, and I said, you go first, leave. And so she left, and I was like, bang one time if you're wanting me to stay. And it did that. Anyway, I said, look, I have to go, I have to go back to work, my break is over, bye. And I got up, and as I'm leaving, it's banging rapidly on the pipes. So I'm walking out in the hallway, and the girl is standing in the hallway waiting on me. And the pipes that was banging on were internal. They're in the wall. You can't actually see them. But out in the hallway, there are pipes that run along the ceiling. And we're walking through the break area underneath these pipes, and these pipes are about as big around as your leg. They're pretty big. And those pipes above our heads start banging and loudly. I worked in that plant 10 years. I've never heard him do that. And we're both standing directly under these pipes, and we both look up at him like, this is crazy. And we keep walking, and the pipes actually start shaking back and forth, banging into each other. These things are cemented. They're like bracketed to a cement ceiling. And the brackets are rattling and shaking loose, and the pipes are slamming into each other and banging. And I say, get out of here, get out of here, leave me. And so I stayed behind because I was afraid, okay, obviously I pissed this thing off. And I said, stop. I yelled, stop. And they stopped. And I said, I will come back and talk to you properly tomorrow. I can't hear you. All we have is saying, I don't understand what you want. I'll come back tomorrow and talk to you the right way. And I started to leave again, and those pipes, they started banging and rattling, and the cement was falling off of the ceiling. It was insane. And I ran into a tornado shelter. Right? So I ended up going back into work, and we could still hear the banging for a while. And I went back out after the banging stopped, and there were plumbers out there, pipe fitters, up on ladders. And I asked them what was going on. I told them how the pipes were shaking. And they said, we don't know what happened. We've never seen it do this. We're checking all the pressures, and they're, you know, explaining it. But they didn't know why the pipes were doing that. And he said they were broken off the ceiling all the way down the hall. And they couldn't find any reason for it. And I ended up talking to one the next day, a plumber, a pipe fitter, and asking if he ever figured it out. He said, no, we don't know what happened. So I'm not saying that's definitely paranormal, but it definitely, whatever we were speaking to in the bathroom, I think was a spirit, because it would start and stop on command, and it didn't just do one or two. It would do whatever number I said. I never did talk to it again. I figured anything that had that kind of power, I didn't want to talk to. So I didn't go back with my equipment and talk to it again. So, anyway, I ran to that lady the other day, and she reminded me of the crazy banging pipes. I thought you'd enjoy that story. All right, thanks for your show. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Jill. Always enjoy hearing your stories. Crazy banging pipes. Now, of course, the skeptic could write that off going, well, there was clearly something wrong with the pipes and they just started bursting and that was the sounds you were hearing as they were falling apart all throughout the building. The ghost person is going to go and say, well, no, maybe it was something paranormal that was breaking them apart to cause the sound. What do you think it was? I think there was something going on. I truly think that there was something obviously manipulating the pipes. I mean, if things were just kind of going and banging and, you know, it wouldn't be as able to be manipulated or easily manipulated as it was with what Jill was saying, where bang three times it bangs. Bang one time for this, bangs one time. You just have it kind of constantly going on and off, whether you're talking or not, to be hitting the exact request marks of how many times you want a pipe to do this or that. That is not just, you know, the building falling apart. There was clearly something going on there that was beyond that. So, Jill, thank you for the call. We greatly appreciate it. The phone number here is 855-853-4802. Hey, guys, if you can, do me a huge favor. We really want to get the show out there to more folks so the show can continue to grow, especially as we get closer into the Halloween season. The only way it really does that is by you letting someone know about us. So if you wouldn't mind, on whatever social media you like, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Pinterest, whatever you use, do me a favor. If you like the show, let your friends know about the show. However you choose, whether that be sharing a link to the show, whether you just be, hashtagging the show, saying, hey, I like the show, check it out. Just let someone know how to find us and that you like it. And we would greatly appreciate that. And you know what? You're going to have friends who go, thank you so much for telling me about that. I love that show, too. So it really, really would mean a lot to us because it really helps us grow this thing, get more great stories in. and just make a better product for you as we continue to make this show the best that it can be as it goes through its evolution. And again, thank you so much in advance for telling a friend and sharing your love for the show. Let's go another caller. Hi.
Hey, y'all. It's Katie from Tennessee again. I just wanted to call in and tell you about this dream I had. So like I have mentioned before, me and my husband are truck drivers. It was about 2 in the morning, and we're going home. We're somewhere in West Virginia. And I go back to the sleeper to lay down, you know, try to get some sleep because we have to work the next day. Well, I'm laying there and I'm having this dream, and it's like the dream lasts forever. And it's just craziness. The whole dream's crazy. I dreamed that I saw a big truck wrecked in the median and all these cars piled up and these cops were wrecked everywhere, and I thought it had all really happened. Well, as we get closer toward the house, I keep, you know, the rumble strip on the side of the road, the gridded part of the side of the road, kept feeling like my husband was leaning and hitting the rumble strip. I thought he was falling asleep because it's, you know, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, it startled me, and it kept happening. My whole body's vibrating. It's jarring my teeth. It's vibrating so much. Well, I just dozed back off to sleep. Then I dream that I see my mother. I'm in a bathroom, but she's not my mother. She's my mother, but she's more like me. She's younger, her hair's longer, and she acts like me, kind of bitchy, you know. And she puts a bag over my head and starts suffocating me and slaps my face. When she puts the bag on my face, both of her hands hit both sides of my face, like, you know, on both sides of the nose. And I wake up instantly, and in the dream I poked a hole in my mouth where the bag was, poked a hole through it so I could breathe. I wake up and I'm like gasping for air. My face is burning from like slaps, and I can't move. I'm trying to holler for my husband. And, you know, we're in a Peterbilt. It's got a turbo. It's loud. He can't hear me. And I'm just back here, like, whimpering. I can't move. All I can do is look at the ceiling and lay here. My face was burning. I freaked out. It was awful. And I was just wondering, is that, like, a form of sleep paralysis? I've never had it before, but I hear you all talk about it often. And he even suggested maybe that since it was my mother, but she looked like me, but I knew it was my mother, but she was harming me. My mother would never harm me. Maybe it's some kind of self-harm I'm doing to myself. You know, I'm kind of a self-destructive person. You know, maybe, I don't know. That's a little deep, isn't it? Anyways, I have another story for you. I'll call in. We saw a ghost mountain lion, I'll let you all go. I took up enough of your time. I love your show. I hope this makes it. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us and asking the question. Sleep paralysis? Because there wasn't anything that I'm aware of that was connected to it, like you didn't wake up and then you got some mom, or your mom didn't try to attack you later. I would take it as you weren't able to move. You were there. Yes, I would say it was probably sleep paralysis. And I don't know what the relationship is there with your mom. If it's good, if it's bad, maybe there's some sort of anxiety there about your mom, or it may just be something completely, misdirected that really has nothing to do with your mom. I don't know. It sounds more like a dream interpretation. Then I think I would say ghost on that level, unless something else does pop up here where you can actually correlate the two and say, oh God, so this happened to me 2 weeks after that dream, which sometimes does happen. Just be aware. Be very aware. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Bez again. I called in with a story about my apartment that I lived in that was experiencing some demonic presence where there were unexplained bugs that shouldn't have been in our area that were in our apartment, and then the actual manifestation where it covered up the light instead of just turning it out, that scared me so badly. This story takes place a few years after that. To give you a little background, my childhood was very traumatic. I was the target of sexual, physical, and mental abuse for all of my childhood and part of my young adulthood. So as a result of that, I experienced chronic depression, very severe, and I was on a medication at the time that wasn't really working for me very well. And I ran out and experienced the withdrawal afterwards because it was very expensive and I had lost my job, so I wasn't able to afford it. I was going to a small Pentecostal church at the time, and during this withdrawal, which I was experiencing some very odd rages and some very odd feelings, to kind of give you a glimpse into that, when I would see the color red, I would just feel this violent rage come over me. And there were a couple instances where I tried to climb the walls because I felt, for some reason, I felt like I would feel better if I were closer to the ceiling. So those were the withdrawal symptoms. So I went to the preacher and told him what I was going through. I didn't know what was going on and just asked him to pray for me because I didn't know what else to do. And he saw it for what it really was, which was a possession. And he took some holy anointed oil. I can't talk tonight. He took some holy anointed oil and used it to make a cross on my forehead. And when he did that, it burned like fire. And I started shrieking because it hurt so bad. And then after that, I lost control of myself. Something else took over me. And they were praying for me and trying to drive this spirit out of me, and though I was trying to talk and pray, all that was coming out was growls and grunts and words I don't even know what they were. At one point, I can't even remember the details of it, and it's really kind of foggy in my mind. But I think I reached for somebody or went to lash out at somebody, and one of the church members said something about, you know, I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ, and it knocked me to the floor. And I, you know, I don't remember much afterwards. I remember the next day feeling very depressed and very, I don't know what to call it, just a lack of feeling, I guess, and which was weird because I was going through this withdrawal and, you know, I was experiencing all range of emotions. So just to feel that depression and lack of emotion was really strange. And I would say probably a couple of days later, things got much better and I felt like the spirit had left me. And I went to church again. I think we had church like three times a week. And when I walked in the door, of course, they were concerned for me. And so immediately anointed me with the holy oil. And that time it didn't burn. And instead, it filled the room with the smell of roses. And so that's when I knew that the Spirit had left me for good. So anyway, that's my story. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you for sharing that a very personal story with us about the experience that you had and that you went through. It's a very difficult one to talk about as far as a topic goes, because there's certainly... it makes me wonder. It makes you wonder about... how many cases are there where someone is going through a withdrawal from a medication or an addiction? And I'm not in any way saying you were an addict or anything like that. You were going through a withdrawal from a prescription medication. That's normal. And obviously, someone who's taking other things too that goes off of it, you know, cold turkey, can also experience that and have very, very peculiar effects. That is what withdrawal is. How many times are those individuals targeted by dark entities because they know that they can essentially be hidden within those withdrawal symptoms and can be written off as just part of the body going through whatever it's going through, as peculiar as it can be sometimes, and that they essentially have a great mask in front of them, and they just torment those individuals even more than what their body is already doing to them. And then vice versa. Sometimes I fully also feel that on the opposite end of things, you have some, I guess, wannabe exorcists, if you will, or people who think that they are just seeking out too readily to find something to exercise or to demonstrate their power or what they can do or what they know or think they know in the world of paranormal, that are all too quick to say to someone, oh, this is a demon, when it really isn't, and it's more of either a mental illness or withdrawal or an addiction or something of that nature, and it really has nothing to do with the paranormal. I think these things certainly happen legitimately, and it sounds like this case was very legitimate. The way that you were reacting to some of those things, the way that you were affected by what was being said and what was being done with you, it does genuinely sound like there might have been seriously a possession there. But it makes you wonder on both sides of the coin, how often is that done accurately and correctly, and how often is it not? It's such a tricky subject, because it's something that I don't believe any human can really know for sure. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We greatly, greatly appreciate you taking the time to do that here. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Sarah from Newport News. I'm working from the newest to oldest, and then back from the newest to oldest of your ghost story podcast. So I was recently... actually, today, listening to a podcast that you had released probably before December, within January of 2014, about whether or not people at their graves would have been there and what it would be like for people during their cemetery funeral provisions to be there during that. I actually hadn't experienced many funerals at my time during this specific time in my life. the first funeral that I had gone to was of a middle school friend named Jacob, who had been hit in a hit-and-run car accident. And it was very traumatic for me. I was a little kid. He wasn't actually really a friend. He was just a kid who was on my bus. It was very strange for me to know somebody who had died at that age, even though I had been through some significantly tragic situations in my life at that point. I had never really known anybody who had legitimately died. At the point of, 17, 18 years old, my aunt had been hit in a semi traffic accident. So her husband was driving in front of her. It was him and his son in an SUV. Behind them in an SUV was my aunt and her daughter. And they had been hit head-on or T-boned by a semi. My aunt had been in the driver's seat, American-wise, had been hit completely, her body obliterated by a semi. The only part of the car that was recovered and that was not in complete disarray, which was considered by the family a complete miracle, and by police and firemen who had to use the quote-unquote jaws of life to pull my cousin, my very much a younger cousin, out of the vehicle. She was in the only area of the vehicle that was literally so compacted that any life could have been sustained from that point. She suffered severe injuries to the arms and the ligaments of her body. She has horrible scars today, and not only just physical but emotional scars, which it's so hard to deal with emotional scars for a teenage girl because she's so young at the time that it happened, and I wish I could help her more, but you kind of have to wait for them to reach out to you. But the whole point of this call is that it was such a strange and horrific occurrence that she had even survived. It was amazing. It was almost like her mother created a little bubble around her to make sure that she survived. She was the only other person in the car, like I said before. Her husband and her son, which is younger than the female cousin that survived, was in the car before her, before the semi hit. And, sometimes things really work out, but it was amazing. She was pulled. I mean, the entire car or the SUV was... I wish I could show you pictures of the actual accident, but completely smashed, beyond obliteration. I mean, my family's really religious. They had an open casket. I wish they hadn't, because unfortunately, and this is one of the reasons why I use the names, you could tell her body was of square foam. You could tell half of her face wasn't real. She was really obliterated. They did the best they could do, and you could still tell that it was really fake and horrible. They should have had a closed casket. The other reason why I bring this story up is, you know, it's hard to lose your parents, and I know that. I've lost one of my parents before. I hope that I can help these people. I hope that any person that loses a parent knows that their parents work in mysterious ways to let them know that they're there, and even if they're not quite dead, such as my father. My father is actually not dead, but has shown up many times in my life. He's in a mental coma, so to say, but they show up all the time, and you need to pay attention, because just because they're not there doesn't mean they don't care. So I hope this story reaches out to you. I know I've told many stories before. I'm not sure you've gotten all my stories. Like I said before, I literally don't know at this point if you've heard any of my stories. I'm calling outside of my horrible haunted house to make sure you get this particular story, because I feel like it means a lot more than a lot of the stories I've told. But hey, if you're out there and you feel like you've got a family member that isn't speaking to you, it may just be because you're not listening hard enough. Just be open. And if something doesn't feel right, then it's not them. So keep that in mind. And I wish you all the best. Thank you, Tony and Jenny. And you guys make a great, great podcast, and I wish you all the best, and I hope to become an EPP soon. But until then, say lovey. Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story and your insight. It's one of those things where it really does kind of make you think. You know, sometimes, you know, not to sometimes, but I believe everything happens for a reason, and for whatever reason it may be, that she was able to survive such a horrific wreck while other loved ones were not. There's probably still a reason for it, and what that is, you know, sometimes we just don't know, and I don't know, I don't profess to know any of that, but it's one of those things. And it's interesting when you bring up the thought process of a parent from the beyond still being there, being the guardian angel. Hard to say if it was, you know, the mom or not in that, or just something or someone looking after that individual. But also interesting to hear how you say that your father, who's not passed on, still somehow helping you in various ways. That we hear that a lot of ghosts of the living, essentially. It's a thing. And one of those things I never even thought to contemplate before doing this show. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Jessica. I'm a pretty new listener, and I wanted to tell you a story because I've had quite a few things happen to me. Little background, when I was younger, I used to experience things a lot more often, but when I was about 17, everything kind of just stopped, so it's been about 4 or 5 years since anything has happened, but just a few months ago, it came back, or specifically, something paranormal happened again. Not, like, I don't think it's related to any previous thing. But, so basically what had happened is I had been asleep in my, and I was asleep on my back, but my head was facing away from the wall, like, towards the rest of my room, and when I kind of woke up in the middle of the night because, I don't know, it kind of just happens. You usually just like roll over or something. But I had opened my eyes and I saw someone, like, what I thought was someone kneeling next to my bed. And I could only see the outline of their head and their shoulders. And in my nighttime thoughts, I thought it was my roommate because there was a window behind this, and I thought I couldn't see his face because maybe there's a little bit of light coming from outside that was, like, blocking this, so I could only see shadow. But it still freaked me out, so I, like, gasped, and I threw my blankets into the air in my shock. And when the blanket fell back down, it was gone. And I freaked out even more because I had been hearing, I assume the reason I woke up was because there was whispering. So it scared me so much that I told all my friends, and I was like, oh God, you guys, something's happened. And I maybe I was asleep or something. Maybe I dreamed it. But it was hard for me to convince myself that I dreamed it because my dreams are very rarely something realistic like that. It's usually like, I don't know, flying chicken nuggets or something. So I had a hard time trying to convince myself that that was a dream. But I kind of put it out of my head because nothing happened for a couple nights. And I was like, okay, maybe this isn't anything big. Maybe I had just been sleeping and kind of dreamt this experience. But I had gone over to my boyfriend's house to spend the night, and I was in the same position that night in his bed, laying on my back with my head turned to the side facing the rest of the room. And this time I had told my boyfriend and I had told him about this experience, but he is very skeptical. He didn't believe that this had actually happened. He assumed that it was a dream that I had had. But this night kind of made him believe because I had woken up again in the middle of the night. I didn't hear any whispering this time. I think I had just woken up for whatever reason. But I could see hands on the bed, like grasping at the sheets and pulling, but I couldn't see anything else. But I had freaked out. I started hyperventilating, and I, like, pushed up and tried to get out of the bed, off the blankets, and I had woken my boyfriend up by doing this, and he started freaking out. He was like, Jessica, what's wrong? What's happening? And I told him that I had seen something grabbing at the bed. He kind of soothed me, and he tried to convince me, hey, maybe you're just dreaming. I ended up sleeping on the other side of him. So I was between him and the wall because I could not deal with being near the end of the bed anymore. But I had told my best friend about this second experience too, and she had decided that the best thing for us to do would be to sage the house and myself, because she had a feeling that whatever it was following me, because it not only appeared at my house, but it appeared at my boyfriend's house. If it did happen to be the same entity, which we assume it was, because since nothing had happened to me for so long, the chances of two separate entities interacting with me seemed a little far-fetched. So we saged my house, we saged myself, and since then nothing has happened, but that kind of has freaked us out even more, because while we were saging the house, we kind of said, like, we want all negative energy, anything that wants to harm me, leave. And since nothing has happened, I have kind of like a feeling that whatever that was, whatever that entity was, wanted to hurt me or scare me or something. I've thought a lot about what could have caused this because I hadn't really changed my lifestyle. I hadn't really visited any new places to have something attached to me, excluding I had hung out around a graveyard with my boyfriend waiting for him to come and meet up with me, and I kept commenting on the fact that all the gravestones near the fence were all from the 1920s or 1918, and all were, like, really young people, and I was like, haha, I wonder what happened in 1918. But, so it's possible maybe I had angered something by joking about it near a graveyard. Whatever it is, it hasn't happened since then, and I hope it doesn't, but yeah, I was wondering what you guys thought about this, because it was a pretty spooky experience. I have plenty of other stories from when I was a kid, and I'll call in again sometime. thank you guys so much. I love the show a lot. I've only been listening to it for about a week, but I've listened to quite a bit of episodes, far too many to be listening to in only a week. Yeah, I love it. Thank you guys so much. Have a nice day.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. My thoughts on this specific situation, I would say it's hard to know if it's something dark and evil. I mean, the fact that you were able to get it to go away so easily, for lack of a better term, and it was willing to follow that request, makes me wonder if it wasn't something necessarily evil, maybe something not very nice, meaning more so something of this earth at one point in time, or just may have been misinterpreted, just the fact that, you know, if you're encountering a ghost, not always going to be the most pleasant of experiences, I would say, if you're not looking for it. And could, I think, very easily be interpreted as something dark. I mean, I know I would go there right away, even if it's not, just out of fear. But it's hard to say. What gets me very interested is how easily you were able to get it to go away. And that's good. That's a good thing you were able to do that. So thank you. Thank you for the story. Thank you for calling in and sharing your experiences with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We greatly, greatly appreciate you guys calling in at 855-853-4802. And if you like the show, support it. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You get access to all those bonus episodes up on the website. What are we up to, 46 now? And, of course, exclusive video content and more. It's great stuff up on the website. Check it out. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Click over on the EPP member exclusive section. You can see everything that's up there. And then sign up to be an EPP. Only $5 a month, or you can do a full year at 55 and get access to everything. And thank you in advance for supporting the show and doing it, because that is what keeps our show in the air, covers our cost of doing the show, and allows it to continue on. So if you like it and you're a new listener, maybe consider supporting it and keeping it going. We are a listener-supported show, thanks to you. So check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.